Welcome back to another episode of Tour Guide Tell All. This is one of your hosts, Dan King, and we have a fun little episode for you today, actually a mini episode, and it might be one of my favorites so far. One of the things that really got me interested in history oh so many years ago was learning about the really interesting and fascinating connections between the people that we study, the movers and the shakers, and how intimately sometimes they were connected. And also the what-ifs of history. What if this had happened? What if that had happened? What can we learn from that? So today we have a deep dive into some interesting connections between Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President of the United States, and Winston Churchill, and some other connections with Franklin Roosevelt. Connections, yes. So today we've got Rebecca, and she's going to tell us all about it. Take it away, Rebecca.
Well, it's kind of about historical connections, and we talk a lot on the pod and sort of in our tours about how there's not, particularly in Washington, it's kind of a small town, and there's a lot of connection between some of these characters we're talking about, and some of these stories kind of link up in sort of odd ways. And this is really, I think, a great example of that. And it also is worth mentioning that almost every single person I'm going to mention could be its own podcast episode. They're all sort of fascinating people in their own right. The story begins, as good stories often do, with a Roosevelt. In this case, Franklin. Before Franklin Roosevelt is world famous, before he's president, he, during the First World War, was Assistant Secretary of the Navy. He lived in Washington on a house on R Street with Eleanor and their children. And in the midst of this war, Franklin has a very well-documented affair with his wife's social secretary, a woman named Lucy Mercer. And the affair goes on for a long time. And there are rumors about it, but Eleanor really doesn't have any idea that it's going on until the war is over. Franklin is coming back after a trip, and he comes back very, very sick. And when she is sort of caring for him and unpacking his suitcase and things, Eleanor finds his love letters to Lucy Mercer. And you kind of... it's worth pausing on the sort of pathos of this moment for Eleanor. First of all, her husband is very ill, which is troubling, but now she's discovered that the rumors are real. He's been having an affair, and worse than an affair, it's a love affair. Like, he's in love with Lucy. And at the moment when she wants to get upset about this, she can't. She can't confront him because he's basically comatose, and she has to help see him through this illness, which takes a couple weeks to recover. When she does, they do finally kind of discuss this. Eleanor offers Franklin his freedom. She offers him a divorce, and he doesn't take it. He wants to remain married. And Eleanor says, okay, fine, but her big condition is that Franklin can never see Lucy Mercer again. And so that's exactly what happens, sort of. Lucy Mercer, at this point, is out of a job. She comes from a well-connected but not wealthy family. And so she's got to get herself another job. And eventually, she ends up as the governess to the children of a widower named Winthrop Rutherford. Eventually, she is going to marry Winthrop Rutherford, and they have a daughter of their own. Apparently, you cannot underestimate the charms of Lucy Mercer. Winthrop Rutherford is where we're going to go next with this. Winthrop Rutherford is a New York society, high society man. He is very well connected socially, and we're talking about the upper echelon of New York high society. If you're thinking Mrs. Astor, if you're thinking the 400, the Knickerbockers, you're on the right track. Winthrop Rutherford is descended from the Stuyvesant family, which is basically the first European family to set foot on Manhattan Island. He's got an impeccable pedigree, a ton of money, and is sort of at the tip top of New York society. In his youth, before either of his marriages, Win Rutherford was secretly engaged to a woman named Consuelo Vanderbilt. Consuelo Vanderbilt is obviously part of the Vanderbilt family. She's one of the many great-granddaughters of the Commodore. And Vanderbilt genealogy is a little complicated, so to make this as easy as possible, Consuelo is the daughter of William K. Vanderbilt and his wife, Alva. If you've ever been to Newport, Rhode Island, that's sort of the famous Vanderbilt family retreat. There are actually two Vanderbilt homes there. The famous one is the Breaker. And by the way, they're not called homes, they're called cottages. But if you do a Google search, they're mansions, they're not cottages. At any rate, the famous Vanderbilt home is the Breakers, which is her, Consuelo's cousins. This is the sort of other half of the Vanderbilt family. Consuelo's home at Newport is called Marble House. Her mother designs it herself. And her mother, Alva, was quite the home designer. She designs their home on Fifth Avenue and out of only the finest materials. And so Consuelo grows up surrounded by immeasurable wealth. The Vanderbilt family in those days were very rich, but nouveau riche. And so they were, as far as the old sort of old guard in New York, the old Knickerbocker Society, the what Wynne Rutherford represents, the Astors and the Stuyvesants, the Vanderbilts, they consider the Vanderbilts to be vulgar, flashy, arriviste, very, you know, not our kind, dear. And Alva Vanderbilt, Consuelo's mother, really, really wants to be accepted by this New York elite. Alva's very much a social climber, kind of a social mountaineer, to borrow a term. And she wants to be accepted by these New York elites. And so when her daughter comes of age and announces her engagement to Wynne Rutherford, you would think that that was exactly what her mother wants. I mean, this is their entree into the highest echelons in New York society. This is exactly what she wants. And you'd think her mother, Alva, would be overjoyed. Unfortunately, by this time, and this is the mid-1890s, Alva Vanderbilt has had one too many snubs by these New York hoity-toity elites. She has decided that that marrying into the upper echelon is not enough for her only daughter. She wants something better for Consuelo. And Alva decides that in order to sort of show up New York society, she's going to get something for her daughter that you just can't get in the United States. She's going to get for her daughter a title. Her daughter is going to marry into nobility. And so that's kind of what Alva schemes towards. She and Consuelo sail over to Great Britain and they meet a bunch of titled nobility. Now, obviously, there are titles and then there are titles. And, you know, for a Vanderbilt, the only title that will do is the absolute highest. And so Alva wants her daughter Consuelo to marry a duke. Now, this is something that's happening a lot in sort of upper society in the United States in those days. There is a trend called the dollar princesses. A lot of wealthy American girls will go over and marry a European nobility, some on the continent, mostly in Great Britain, though. It's a real simple exchange of title for money. A lot of these aristocrats have fallen on hard times as we're coming into the 20th century. They don't have the money that they used to. And so an infusion of cash from these Americans, these wealthy Americans, through their dowry is exactly what the doctor ordered. And the Americans get the prestige of a title. And so Alva thinks this is a really great idea. And she wants her daughter to marry very well and marry a title. And this is not at all what Consuelo wants. Consuelo wants to marry Wynne Rutherford. But Alva basically forces her daughter into an arranged marriage with a duke. The duke she marries is the Duke of Marlborough. They have this big society wedding, and Consuelo's crying the whole time because she doesn't want to marry this guy. They do get married. Consuelo becomes a duchess, and she moves over to her husband's estate, which is called Blenheim Palace. The Dukes of Marlborough is one of the oldest non-royal titles in Britain. It goes back to the 17th century. They're very, very well connected. And all of a sudden, Consuelo is a duchess. Now, the Duke, her husband, his Christian name, his real name is Charles Spencer Churchill. Now, the name Churchill should be setting off alarm bells in your head because the Duke's first cousin is Winston Churchill. So that's kind of a backwards way of getting from Franklin Roosevelt to Winston Churchill through sort of all these society connections. And it kind of proves to you what elevated circles they ran in and sort of who's running our government. They're very similar sort of circles that they're running in. A couple of intriguing notes to sort of round this story out. The first is that Consuelo and Winston Churchill actually become close friends, and they remain close for the rest of their lives. Consuelo's marriage to the Duke doesn't end up so great, but even after her divorce, she will invite Winston and his wife to vacation at her villa in the south of France. So they remain very good friends for a long time. And in fact, in the 1950s, when Winston is world famous, he comes to the United States and on a sort of tour, and he stays with Consuelo in her villa in Palm Beach, Florida. And he polishes a speech there that he is due to give, and in fact does give, a couple days later in Fulton, Missouri, which has since gone down in history as the Iron Curtain speech. So this is the sort of connection that we've got going on here. Intriguing note number two, there's a lot of speculation about Lucy Mercer and Franklin Roosevelt. Eleanor forbids them from being in touch. And for the most part, Franklin actually does comply with her wishes. But towards the end of his life, his children sort of reach back in touch with her, and Lucy Mercer is brought back into his life. And in fact, she's at the villa in Warm Springs, Georgia, when he has his final stroke and passes away. So Lucy Mercer Rutherford remains a presence in his life to the very end. And it's one of these questions that what would have happened and how would things have been different if Franklin had chosen to follow his heart and divorce Eleanor? The truth is, and he knew this at the time, we never would have heard of any of them. In those days, divorce had such a big stigma that he would have killed his political career before it got off the ground. America did not elect a divorce man to anything, really. And so we wouldn't have heard of Franklin. We probably wouldn't have heard of Eleanor. And American history would be a very, very different place in the 20th century. And the third intriguing note in all of this is when Consuelo marries the Duke, obviously, he doesn't have any heirs yet. The way the British system works is only men can inherit. And without a son of his own, had the Duke died without a son, the next male relative would have been Winston Churchill. So when Consuelo marries the Duke, her husband's family sits her down and basically tells her, look it, honey, you have to have children and you have to have a son. If you don't, Winston will inherit this ancient title and we cannot have that. And Consuelo does. She has two sons, the heir and the spare. And in fact, she is credited with coining that term. Her great-great-grandson holds the title of Duke of Marlborough at this very moment. So she does do her duty as far as the duchy is concerned and give her husband an heir. But what if she couldn't have kids? What if they'd only had daughters? If the Duke had died, and when he dies in 1934, if he had not had a male heir, Winston Churchill would have inherited the title. He would have become the Duke of Marlborough. He would have moved into the House of Lords as a hereditary peer. And again, under the British system, if you're in the House of Lords, you can't be in the House of Commons. And so he would have been ineligible to be prime minister during the Second World War. So it's one of those sort of intriguing little twists of history. I think it's a fascinating little sort of romp with American history, British history as well. And that's kind of the little story I wanted to leave you guys with. Hopefully someone other than me found it kind of interesting.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. I found that fascinating, and I'm sure many out there did as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to this mini episode of Tour Guide Tell All. If you like what you hear and you'd love to hear more, please go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, follow us on Twitter, Tour Guide Tell. For content that we're doing all month long in May. We're trying to connect as many things as possible to the May 8th Victory in Europe celebration, the 75th anniversary of that. So all month long, we'll be bringing you lots of World War II content, so be sure to stick around for that. We'd also love your support on Patreon. That's how we tour guides are making a little bit of money during this interesting time of ours, so please check that out. And if you have any topics you'd love for us to dive into, please give us an email, check out our website, and support us, because we're loving to do this, and we'd love to do more for you. Thanks again for tuning in, and stay tuned for our next episode.